So I've been asked to come here and give a talk. Today is the auspicious occasion of Gopastami and also disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya. I was specifically asked to talk about Srinivas Acharya because he is one of our first book distributors. And the upcoming marathon is looming. Everybody's looking forward to it. So if we discuss and become inspired by Srinivas Acharya's activities, then it will set us in good stead for the sacrifice we're about to perform. So the verse in relation to this is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, first chapter, text 33. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Both Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami brought various scriptures to Vrindavan and collected the essence of these by compiling many scriptures on devotional service. In this way, they delivered all rascals and fallen souls. Purport. Srila Srinivas Acharya has sung. Nana Shastra Vichar. Where did I see this? Nana Shastra Vichar Nene Nipuno Sadama Samstapako. Lokanam hita kadino chubuvine manyo sharanya kakoro Radha Krishna padada vinna bhajanan nandena mataliko vande rupa sanatana rupuko chi jiva gopalako. The six Goswamis, under the direction of Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami, studied various Vedic literatures and picked up the essence of them, the devotional service of the Lord. This means that all the Goswamis wrote many scriptures on devotional service with the support of Vedic literature. Devotional service is not a sentimental activity. The essence of Vedic knowledge is devotional service, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, all the Vedic literature aims at understanding Krishna, and how to understand Krishna through devotional service has been explained by Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis with evidence from all Vedic literatures. They have put it so nicely that even a rascal or a first-class fool can be delivered by devotional service under the guidance of the Goswamis. Tamagyanda Timarandasya Gananjana Shlakya Chakshun Malitam Yanatasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yanabhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Paritanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivasadi Gaurabhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So today, auspicious disappearance day of Srinivas Acharya. I wanted to speak a little about this person. It was very interesting doing some research. Srinivas Acharya, the upcoming marathon, very important time for us, Prabhupada Marathon, opportunity to get full mercy of Srila Prabhupada through distribution of his books, which he was so dear to his heart. So it all started, of course, back in the days of Lord Chaitanya. So there was an individual, his name was Gangadhar Bhattacharyan, and his wife, Lakshmi Priya. They were living in a village called Chakandi, on the banks of the Ganga, in the Budwa district of Bengal. So they often wanted to have a child, a spiritually advanced child. That was their dream, but somehow or another it never occurred. Though they spent many years together, husband and wife. Now, Gangadhar was a great devotee of Nimai Pandit, to be the future Lord Chaitanya. He would always talk about his pastimes, his activities with his confidential associates. He was well known in his village for that activity. He really wanted to go to Navadvip to meet Lord Chaitanya personally, but due to family responsibilities, he was unable to do so. Nevertheless, in 1510, he took courage and decided to set out for Navadvip to meet the Lord of his heart. He was just journeying for 7 miles, and then he heard that Lord Chaitanya was in Katwa, a nearby town, where he was about to take sannyas. Now, this was mixed news for Gangadhar. He was thinking, why does the Lord have to take the sannyas ashram, the renounced order of life? This is for human beings who have got so many material attachments. Renunciation is not required for Lord Chaitanya. He's already the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. This is a bad thing. He was very upset by this. So anyhow, we arrived to Katwa, went to the sacrificial arena, and there he saw Nimai sitting there with the barber, Madhushila, ready to shave off his beautiful raven black locks of hair. No, please don't do it, the crowd was shouting. They didn't want to see Nimai take sannyas. He was such a beautiful boy, everybody loved him so much. To take the renounced order of life, to leave his young wife, how could it be so? So Madhushila was crying so many tears, his hand was trembling, though he had the great fortune of touching Lord Chaitanya's head. What a task it was. Nevertheless, despite everybody not wanting it to take place, it had to be so, because Lord Chaitanya had to show the religious world the importance of renunciation. So the sannyas guru of Lord Chaitanya, Keshava Bharati, he gave Nimai Pandit his new name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So the story goes that Gangadhar was so devastated, he fell to the floor, crying to see the Lord shaven and accepting the renounced order of life. But then he found himself, he was unable to stop chanting the name of Chaitanya. Chaitanya! Chaitanya! Chaitanya, Chaitanya! That developed into Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he wandered back, he staggered back to his village of Chakandi, chanting over and over again, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. He spoke to his wife in the same way, and she started to feel the same ecstasy that he was experiencing. In a stupor of ecstatic emotion, he was known throughout his village from then on as Chaitanya Das. So Chaitanya Das and his wife, Lakshmi Priya, decided to go to Jagannath Puri very shortly after this event to see Lord Chaitanya in person, having accepted the renounced order of life. And so they went to Jagannath Puri, and they fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya and surrendered to him completely. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy, and he spoke to them, Lord Jagannath is very pleased that you've come to Jagannath Puri. Please go and take his darshan. The lotus-eyed Lord wants to see you. And so he sent with them his servant Govinda, who showed them the temple, and they went inside, took darshan of Lord Jagannath, and they said many prayers to him. So Lord Chaitanya arranged for them wonderful apartments in Jagannath Puri, and they stayed there for several days and associated with the Lord. On one of those days, Lord Chaitanya spoke to his servant Govinda and said, actually, I know their hearts because they pray to Lord Jagannath that they want to have a child. Since I and Lord Jagannath are non-different, I heard their prayer. So they have to be sent back. Please send them back immediately to Chakandi, because soon they will have a child. His name will be Srinivas. He will be responsible for distributing the literatures written by Rupa and Sanatan and distribute them far and wide and deliver my message of Krishna Bhakti to all the peoples of this land. So sure enough, they immediately went back to Chakandi and a child was born, a beautiful boy. He was golden in complexion. His eyes were like lotus petals. He had a long, elegant nose. His arms came down to his knees. The astrologer of the family, who happened to be Lakshmi Priya's father, said that this boy is a Mahapurush, and that his extraordinary things will occur through this boy. So he grew up nicely in Chakandi. There he was educated by Dhananjaya Vijayavachaspati, who taught him in all the scriptural sciences, religiosity, economics and politics. Of course, he was destined for higher subject matters, but Vijayavachaspati said that actually there was nothing to teach this boy. It's as if he already knew everything. He was very advanced. He became the beloved of Chakandi. Everybody adored him. He was such a beautiful, well-behaved boy. Due to his fame, he came into contact with an individual called Narahari Sarakar. And so he was an intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. He was famous because he was the only one who was allowed to sing Lord Chaitanya's glories in the Lord's presence. The Lord wouldn't be able to hear it from anybody else. He would cover his ears. But when Narahari Sarakar could sing in front of the Lord, it was accepted. So because of this, Srinivas understood this was a very special person, and he surrendered to him as his first instructing guru. And he started to receive spiritual instructions from Narahari. As soon as that happened, he began to feel divine ecstasy in his body. Narahari said, then you must go and see Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. You must go immediately. At that time, Srinivas's father passed away. After 7 days of fever, his father passed away. And so this was a difficult time because he had to go and console his mother. So Narahari instructed him to console his mother, make her feel comfortable, but then please make your way to Jagannath Puri and associate with the Lord. Lord Chaitanya was preparing for his arrival. Preparing for Srinivas's arrival, he instructed Gadadhar Pandit to teach Srinivas the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he also wrote a letter to Rupa and Sanatam instructing him, please, you have to instruct this boy in the Bhakti scriptures when he arrives to Vrindavan. On his way to Jagannath Puri, after consoling his mother, Srinivas heard that Lord Chaitanya had left this world. He was devastated, of course. However, in a dream or in a pretext of a dream, in a spiritual vision, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda both came to him, reassured him and encouraged him, consoled him, please keep going. And so he finally arrived to Jagannath Puri, went to the Gopinath temple and surrendered to Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit was very happy to see him. I've been expecting you. Lord Chaitanya has been telling me that you're going to come here and I have to teach you Srimad Bhagavatam. But then he became very sad. But unfortunately, I cannot teach you Srimad Bhagavatam at this time because the copy that I have has become illegible because of the tears I've cried onto its pages. It's no longer readable. What can we do? So they were both determined that Lord Chaitanya's order must be fulfilled. So therefore, a message was sent to Narahari to please find another Srimad Bhagavatam, which he found. He sourced another copy. And he said, please send a messenger here to collect it. So Gadadhar sent Srinivas personally to go and collect the book. Now the story goes that using the opportunity, he decided to visit all the homes of the intimate associates of Lord Chaitanya while he was in Jagannath Puri. So he visited the homes of Ramananda Roy, of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, of Sikhi Mahiti. He visited the homes of Gopinath Acharya, and several other intimate associates of the Lord. And because that took some time, by the time he left for to meet Narahari Sarakar to collect the Srimad Bhagavatam, he arrived, and he had been warned by Gadadhar Pandit that I don't know how much longer I can stay in this world because I'm feeling so much separation from the Lord. By the time he arrived to Chakandi, Gadadhar Pandit had left this world. He was naturally very devastated by this because he was unable to fulfill the instruction of Lord Chaitanya. And not much is known of what happened the next short few years, but it's assumed that he was very despondent, that he took to meditation, and he also continued his studies. Now, in a short time around this period, it was thanks to Janavamata, who had just visited Vrindavan, and while she was there, she received instructions from Rupa to please bring Srinivasacharya to Vrindavan. We've been ordered by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to instruct him on the Bhakti Shastras. Can you please instruct him to come here? So Janavamata came to Chakandi and told Narahari about this, and he instructed Srinivas. Srinivas again became very inspired. Yes, I want to go to Vrindavan. So the story goes again. He delayed his journey. The reason for that, he wanted to visit all the pastime places in Navadvip. So some say that the Lord delayed his journey because he was so enthusiastic to meet the eternal associates of the Lord that he forgot about the instruction of Lord Chaitanya. Some say that he was trying to set an example of the importance of association and of pilgrimage to the pastime places. Some say it was just providence that he had to take initiation not from Rupa or Sanatan, but from Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Anyhow, whichever the reason was, the Lord's pastimes are always mysterious. He visited the home of Lord Chaitanya and he met his empowered widow, Vishnu Priya Devi. And he saw the austerities that she was performing, how she would chant around over each grain of rice, and however many grains of rice she chanted over in that day, that's how much she would eat. And he understood that this is a lady very much worthy of the association of the Lord. He also visited many other people. I won't mention them all. He visited, for example, Advaita Acharya's home and the home of Janavamata. Janavamata said, look, what are you doing? You need to get to Vrindavan. I don't know how much longer Rupa and Sanatan will be around. So he became determined again. He set off. He met Narahari again on his way back through. Chakandi, who again was very worried about why are you taking so long to go to Vrindavan. By this time he had reached adulthood. So finally he went on his way. He stopped at Benares on the way to meet Chandrasekhar Acharya, to see the pastime places of the Lord in Benares. And as he slowly, on foot, came closer and closer to Vrindavan, he was 4 days away from Vrindavan when he overheard that Sanatan Goswami had left the world 4 months previously. And then when he reached Mathura, he heard that Rupa Goswami had left the world 3 days before. So naturally, he was again very, very despondent. The story goes that he sat beneath a tree and was begging just to leave this world, to leave his body. He was so upset. But then Rupa and Sanatan appeared to him in a spiritual vision and reassured him that he should take initiation from Gopal Bhatta Goswami and he should learn, he should be instructed by Jiva Goswami. He should immediately go to Vrindavan and take association there. So that's what he did. He went to Vrindavan. He went straight to the Govindaji temple, Rupa Goswami's temple. And that's where he met Jiva Goswami, who brought him to the Radha Damodar temple. He was able to pay his obeisance to the samadhi of Rupa Goswami there. And there he introduced him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami from the Radharaman. So Gopal Bhatta Goswami expressed his disappointment that he was unable to come any earlier than that. But since he was there, that was great. Then he accepted formal initiation from Gopal Bhatta, and he was instructed to learn, to study under Jiva. Now, Jiva Goswami at that time was the foremost philosopher in India, if not the whole world, in the whole of history. Jiva Goswami was such a learned person. And it was there that he met his future companions, Narottam and Duki Krishna Das, who would later become Shyamananda. So these three would be the first Sankirtan party. So they studied very nicely under their teacher. And then word came from Janavamata that a very special mission was needed to be executed. That although Krishna consciousness or the Sankirtan movement had been very successfully propagated in Bengal, there was a lack of scriptural authority. And the depth of philosophical understanding was not so great there. So therefore there was a great need for the scriptures, for the books being written by the Goswamis of Vrindavan to be brought to Bengal and distributed there. So Jiva sent his best men. He sent Srinivas, who he renamed Srinivas Acharya. He sent Narottam, who he renamed Narottam Mahasaya, and he renamed Duki Krishna Das Shyamananda. So these three were connected with a wealthy man from Mathura who bought for them a big cart, 4 bullocks, and 10 armed guards. A big chest in which they put all the books of Rupa, Sanatan, Gopal Bhatta, Jiva Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and many others into this chest. It was locked and sealed with a wax cloth. And they set out. They went via Agra and then continued on their way to Bengal. So the story goes that they were walking for many months to deliver these sacred scriptures. It was a very important mission. But on the way, just as they got to the fringes of Bengal and to an area called Gopalpur, a change of events happened. They thought they were almost at their destination. But there was a king called Bihambir, who was the king of Vishnupur, and his way of collecting revenue was slightly different to the norm. He had a special gang of thieves, about 200 men, who were empowered to rob any travelers or passers-by of their belongings and often kill them. So these men were following the party with because their astrologers had told the king, that these people had the greatest treasure in the universe with them. And so the king decided, well, I must rob them and find out what they've got. So he sent his men, and during the night they were sleeping next to a beautiful lake. And despite having the 10 armed guards, they had 15 of them all together, the three sadhus and the two bullock cart drivers. All 15 of them were fast asleep when the robbers came, and they stole the chest of books and took it back to the king. The king was fiddling through his latest acquisitions when the chest was brought, and he had it opened, and he lifted out one of the books, and he saw that it was by Rupa Goswami. He read through it, and something changed deeply within his heart as he read the beautiful philosophical renditions of Rupa Goswami. He realized he'd made a great mistake and a big sin, and so he put the book back. That night he had a dream when an effulgent person came to him and told him that, my name is Srinivas, and these books belong to me. I will come soon here. Do not worry. You will be absolved of all sinful reactions, and you will become very joyful. You should know that you are my eternal disciple, and I am your eternal well-wisher. So the king had this dream. So over the next few days, because Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Shyamananda obviously devastated the fact the books were missing, when they woke up, they were horrified. So anyway, Srinivas took control of the situation. He sent the other two to Bengal to preach without the books. They were so learned. And he would personally go and find the books and bring them back. So he wandered to the outskirts of Vishnupur, where he came into contact with an individual called Krishna Vallabh, who was a local brahmana. And he understood the quality of Srinivas. And he explained to him that there's Bhagavad Katha going on at the moment at the palace, and maybe you would be interested to go. So Srinivas was very curious, and so he got to the palace. And the local court pundit there, his name was Vyasacharya, he was extolling Bhagavatam Katha there. And Srinivas was listening to the Katha, but he wasn't agreeing with everything that was being said. But he was silent, he was humble. But after 2 weeks of listening, he had to mention to Vyasacharya after the Katha, why do you not refer to the Acharya's commentaries like Sridhar Swami? Why is it you're not following the text properly? So Vyasacharya basically ignored him. He was very proud at that time. You know, I'm the court pundit. Who are you, young man, to tell me like this? So the next day, he continued with the Katha, but at this point, it was a Katha about the Rasalila, and Srinivas could bear it no longer. So he spoke out openly and questioned, dear sir, why do you not follow the commentaries of Sridhar Swami and the other great commentators on Bhagavatam? It seems that you're not following the script properly. Can you please explain this? Vyasacharya became very upset and angry, but the king interjected. He identified Srinivas. Maybe this is the person from my dream. So he said, well, this young Brahmana boy, maybe he's identified some discrepancy in your explanations. Maybe there is something wrong here. Vyasacharya was obviously very upset. How dare you defy me in front of the king like this, in front of this assembly? If you think you're so good, you come here and sit on the chair and you give the katha. So naturally, Srinivas rose to the challenge. He gracefully sat down and he gave the most beautiful rendition of Bhagavatam anybody had ever heard, drawing upon the commentaries of the previous acharyas and giving his own unique interpretation of the scriptures. It was described that the walls of the palace seemed to be melting with the devotional sentiment that he was bringing to the room. The king was overjoyed. He encouraged him more and more. He spoke for several hours. And afterwards, the king congratulated him. He said, I've never heard such a rendition before. What is your name? He said, my name is Srinivas. He said, please, you are, the king said, please, I am your servant. You stay here with me in the palace as long as you like. He gave him the best rooms in the house. That evening, he invited Srinivas to take prasadam with him. Srinivas refused. He said, I'm afraid I only take one meal a day and I've already eaten. The king said, please, at least come and take some fruit with me. So Srinivas agreed, not wanting to disturb his host. So he came and sat with him. The king sat behind him like a humble servant, serving him like this. He never felt like this before with anybody. That night, the king could overhear from the room next door Srinivas chanting the Lord's names. The king understood this is a real saint. He's completely absorbed in Krishna prema. The next day, he was invited to perform more Bhagavad Katha, which he did, and again extolled the most beautiful rendition of our philosophy. Everybody was surprised. Even the court pundit Vyasacharya was completely enamored by Srinivas and even became his disciple later on. So after this rendition, the king again approached Srinivas and said, actually, you are the king. You are the king of this place. This whole kingdom belongs to you. Just tell me what you want me to do. Srinivas said, dear sir, the reason I've come here is because we were trying to deliver the scriptures of Rupa and Sanatan and of the Goswamis of Vrindavan to Bengal. But unfortunately, all these scriptures, which were sealed within a chest, have been stolen in the night, and we don't know where they are. Perhaps you can help me find them. That is my request. The king cried out, oh, what a worm I am, disgusting person. It was me, I stole them. I organized my men and they came in the night. They stole your books and I have them here. Oh, I'm such a sinful wretch. How can you ever forgive me? Srinivasacharya was, yes, I understand. But the king said, actually, maybe this is good. Maybe this is good that this happened because in this way I was able to meet you. And Srinivas laughed and said, well, we didn't have to meet quite like this. We could have met in a more positive way. But anyway, it's okay. You will be absolved of all your sins. Just please show me where the books are. So he led him to the chamber where the books had been kept. Immediately Srinivas took his garland off, put it on the king, and requested, please, king, can you, Virumbir, please go and collect some sandalwood paste, incense, flowers, flower garlands. And he wanted to perform puja of the books, which he did. A very nice puja. And then he gave the king formal initiation. He was renamed Harichandan. And in this way, the king became the disciple of Srinivas. So this was an extraordinary event. Message was sent to Jiva Goswami in Vrindavan that the books have been found. And the king of Vishnupur has become my disciple. And the whole of Vrindavan celebrated this fact. Because with royal patronage, now, Gaudiya Vaishnavism became the state religion in Vishnupur. It was said that King Birambir became such a devoted follower of Srinivas that he himself became a great preacher of the holy name. He made it state law that you would be penalized if you did not chant a certain number of names in that kingdom every day. He illegalized animal slaughter, and animal sacrifice was very much minimized, though it wasn't completely outlawed. And the extraordinary thing about Vishnupur is it maintained a constant protection against foreign influences from the period of the 17th century onwards. Even Muslim interference was very minimal. And so there was a great flourishing of Gaudiya Vaishnav art, sculpture, architecture. And it's said that there's nowhere else in Bengal where one can find such a, still today, standing, so many nice examples of Vishnu temples as have been preserved there. So this is a lovely story about the first book distributors. Of course, they again reunited after a while and propagated very strongly the Sankirtan movement in Bengal and nearby places. So that's what I wanted to speak about. Of course, today is also auspicious in many other ways. Today is the day where Krishna became qualified to take out the fully grown cows. Before that, he was considered too young. He was just taking out the calves. But on this day, when he became the age of six, although he was younger than that, but because he aged a bit quicker than normal children, he was considered to be six, he was able to take out the fully grown cows into the forests of Vrindavan. So it's a very nice day. On this day, traditionally, we would worship the cows. So it's nice and so... Yeah, like that. I'll kind of finish there because I know I was late. We'll apologize. There's still some miscommunication. I was expecting to be picked up at 7 o'clock. But I waited 45 minutes. Anyway, maybe next time. But thank you very much for your patience and waiting and listening so nicely. It was very nice to be here. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srinivasacharya ki jai. Janitai go premanande.